receive each week in your board briefs. And so we really want you to be sure to click on that. It is, HR works hard to make sure they get everything in there. There are some positions that have been filled. For example, you filled the Lydia Cozier position. And so that one doesn't, shouldn't be too determined in there. But this document, and so I'm going to ask for questions as we go through. I'm going to do my best to be a Cindy here on this with it all. I think the biggest ones I want you to notice is when it says, not filling at this time, NA. We're really, as we talk as a cabinet at these positions that says not filling at this time, that do we actually really, can we continue to run without them? And like I said, I went through and I counted. I want to say there's like 15-ish positions in here right now that have that, with more to come. Because when positions open up, if we don't need the position, and or when I say don't need it, is if we need to look at making that as an area that we reduce in, we will reduce there. And so we have some of those positions.
Can you open the...
I'm going to try...
Just so we know what staffing positions right. We're talking
yeah.
About.
Yeah, so like this one right here. Yep. So right here. I had it before. I thought it was just going to be too small for you all. We'll try it there. Can you see it?
That's good.
Can you still see that? Okay. That gets your whole screen. So this section right here is, top is the administrators. Then our next group is what we call the exempt changes. So we had some social workers, okay, that had resigned, and some have been filled, others have not. So this is an area where when we think about, okay, what's the shortages? Social workers, we know our shortage areas, just like special education teachers are shortage areas. Registered behavior techs, RBTs. So we've had four resignations here in RBTs. And so those are not being replaced also.
So when we're looking at that, the not filling at this time would be those that have not an internal transfer because they're still a staff. So if they're still a staff member. So we would have to break that out to who are those that,
okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Two
of those are not filling. The third behavioral technician.
These ones right here?
Yep, the third one says internal transfer.
So they would have been, yeah, so like right now, this person, she went over to, that's Olivia, she went to Custer, right?
She's at Custer as a dean.
As a dean.
But she's still a staff member.
She still works for us, but her position as a behavioral tech is not being refilled.
Right.
Okay, she just transferred somewhere else. It's kind of like the one I was talking about, the ones that from last year, that there's other positions that, because that's available to them, if they wanted to apply, she would be, that's like an example, she went to be a dean and was qualified for that.
So does a lack of a position mean a lack of staff?
Not necessarily. It's back to
right.
Looking at with the change of the K-4 buildings and really what the needs are, is having an RBT a need for that for us at that point in time. And so we're looking at it through the lens of like RBTs. No, because we're trying a different mechanism to meet the needs of our students in that area. So that's why it says not at this time. Our goal is, can we not have to have RBTs? Great, but if we need to have one in a particular area because it was a particular kind of a student, then yes.
That was the struggle when I saw this report, and I appreciate it because I can see the time put into it, and I do appreciate because you do get a lot less questions from me because I do have this. But one thing that I can never decipher is a cost benefit analysis on this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, what is this, and we're not filling it this time, what is the
monetary.
So what's the monetary?
Yes,
so,
I can't
so
tell that.
So if you think about an RBT, Cassie, just out of your sheer skills.
They're between $21 and some change and $23 a month.
Yeah.
So plus single insurance benefits
was like $40,000 a year.
Yes. That probably you probably total comp that out with single and everything. What's that?
$35 a week.
Yeah. So 700, yeah, so right about
that. Oh, they're 40. Hourly paid?
Yeah. That's an hourly position.
Oh, okay.
That's an hourly. Yep.
So it'd be less than that.
Yep.
It'd be in the 30s.
Yeah. Well, you roll in the benefits. Yeah. It's gonna tap on right about that 40, there. A social worker, though, like, for, so example, we look up here at this position, the social worker position right here, to be determined, hasn't been filled. So, for example, that position at this point in time is on the teacher schedule?
They're exempt.
Oh, it's exempt, I'm sorry, thank you.
They're between 48 and 53 or 55, plus full family insurance, plus single for full family insurance.
So that's a, that is a salary position, and so total comping that out, that'll be pretty much, about that $70,000, and comp that one out for a social worker.
So is there any way, like, if we're looking at, the financials, because obviously, you know, that's what we're looking at this for, you know, I'm looking at what you do with your staff, I'm looking at a financial aspect to it. Is there any way, so Andy said there's 15 positions that are not being filled, we need to identify which one of those are not internal transfers, there are two positions not being filled, and a ballpark of the benefit, is that what you're calculating right now, Andy, as I'm watching you furiously?
I'm actually doing that because, I appreciate that, because as I go through this, I'm thinking, okay, well, hey, there's 15 positions, I'm starting to do the mental math in my head, okay, what is that gonna equate out to, is adding another column in here. So I think there's probably a mechanism we can do.
And she could probably do, pull in like the range of the salary.
Because now dollars matter even more than they did before.
To me, dollars always matter.
Well, you, yeah, but to me too, but now it's in a different way.
May I make a request?
Yeah.
So instead of adding a singular column for salary or hourly rate, can we add another column for eligible for benefits or not?
That's a good one.
Because I think that's also an important cost to consider.
Yeah, no, we can put some stuff in there, because in that way you'll see,
Jill would have that data.
Yeah.
Maybe just one column with total cost, which would be salary plus benefits?
Yeah, I think that's where I want to really get to, is more just a total column.
You don't really care what the split is, what is the total cost for that person?
We'll provide it'll be a lower estimate, so that way it's not, we're not overshooting it there.
Yeah, or give a range, you know.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a range there.
So when our conversation earlier, correct me if I'm not remembering it correctly, you said 1.5 million was pulled out of staffing.
And that's not any of this here.
Okay, so that is,
this is on top of.
This is on top of that.
Yes.
And so you have those numbers somewhere else, and you can supply those.
Yeah, so the staffing from before, that's what I was saying, when we looked at, we added up the positions, that's what they totaled from last spring.
Not these positions.
Not, the ones that we're looking at right here are not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about last spring, those employees we went to said that your position will not.
There were 25 at that point.
Correct. That tallied up to about $1.5 million. Okay.
For 25 employees.
I'm concerned.
Yep.
She said.
So they must have made a lot more than these employees.
Oh, by
triple.
You go through the different levels, yes. So
this is all mental math going on around here.
Were some of those administrative?
Last year, no.
Technically speaking,
some deans
at Custer, they did not replace the assistant principal, but they added another dean, which is still administrative, but it's a different pay scale.
Yeah. So it's not a big difference, though, is it?
We didn't eliminate any administrator. Lost their job.
Probably a $20,000 Brian,
thank
to your
you,
Brian, to your question, I would have to go and pull back out my notes of those positions, because I don't, this very moment, I know that the amount was when we were done there. So when you go down through here, you'll be able to just, you can see.
I'm going to put that you're bringing that.
Yep. Not filling. Now, when, I guess, Darla, what do you need? Because we knew the 25 positions, it tallies about $1.5 million. What else do you need?
So you already have that somewhere? Like,
that's been put into the budget.
Okay.
All those reductions that were done in the spring of positions eliminated, that was already taken into account.
Into our current budget we're in.
So anything on here that's not filled, I have accounted for as an expense, but we haven't recognized that because the position is currently vacant.
Correct.
So on the other numbers of the 1.5, when those weren't filled, that is no longer applicable to anything in the budget at that point in time.
When I.
It didn't affect anything after that moment because it can't.
Correct. So once that list was finalized, I built my 25-26 budget, taking into account those positions that weren't being filled and weren't eliminated.
Correct.
So that's already accounted for.
Done, over with, move on.
Correct.
Okay. And so when we look at needing to borrow money, that was already a factor. It's nothing we need to look at going forward.
No.
But these 15 positions are still sitting on the books.
Correct.
As positions, and they haven't totally been, so why are they still on the books?
But they're not on the books, so they can't.
The budget hasn't been amended by the board yet, because I haven't.
Presented it.
Right.
Because the state only gave us the budget.
3 days ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just asking.
So I can't change anything in the budget until I present and the board approves a budget amendment.
Okay.
So that's.
I'm just clarifying where we're at money-wise.
So what would happen then is, and back to your point, when we create that last column for you, you can have a general idea of the positions that are not filled at this time, and should they not be ever filled, how much money that would save on the, that would be a budget reduction when Cassie brings the budget back in for an amendment. That is exactly it.
So we haven't made a decision that we will definitely fill all these positions.
Oh, these positions, right now, we're going at it with not filling them.
Okay.
We're just not doing it.
When are you going to make the decision to pull them off? When you do the budget amendment? Is that what you're saying?
As long as we know that we'll give you an easy example. So Bobby, who is back here, she transferred over to student services, okay? At that time, Amy, who is our receptionist, she moved into HR. And we're like, okay, we can figure how to make our receptionist area work, and we'll figure this thing out and go, right? And it's been an epic fail, and just to say the least, because of just the amount of traffic and what goes on. So, because we're trying to figure out how to eat that position, and unfortunately, we can't eat that position, so.
You learned.
We did, but that's the whole idea, is that we're analyzing each of these positions, especially, I know David will talk more about that when we get into the cleaning, we get into some of these other areas, like, okay, hey, we're doing just fine without that backfilling that position, we're going to go ahead and not keep it for the future. And so that's what you're going to start to
see. You've got to see the impact before you know.
So that's what you're going to start to see right here is on these ones that are not filled, or it says not filling at this time, we're already at October 15th right here, and we're going. And so I would anticipate that a lot of these positions are not going to be
backfilled. But we're not eliminating teacher positions.
So what is happening in the teaching ranks is this. Again, a teaching position is just like all other positions. Can we fill it, for one? So, for example, we have two kindergarten teachers that have resigned. Okay, they're going to go somewhere else to work. We want to backfill those positions, all right? But at the same moment in time, you can't go fill them if you don't have qualified people to. It does more damage than it does good. So if we can't backfill them, then we'll have to come up with a different plan for those two positions or one of those positions.
When did those classrooms need to be met? Because we talked about.
So we posted those two positions.
I've now learned about the doubling of the classrooms, which I didn't know about before.
So those positions have been posted. Those teachers are still working, okay? You know, the one is going to keep on the job until I believe that position is filled and we get someone in the door. Yeah, it is. But so we'll go through the interviewing process. Again, if we have qualified applicants, we'll hire. If not, I know that we've seen teachers, administrators that have building subs that are phenomenal. They'll put a building sub in there because it's better than someone else that we could bring on once you go through the interviewing process. And so then if that's the case, then it would be just a subbed out position. And if we can't get anyone at that point in time, then you talk about the idea around collapsing a classroom, okay? So we already did
Which
some of
make classroom sizes.
Well, but you, but it, that's only, that's, if you have to get the worst case. What we did monitor though was, we had a teacher, I think, and Tara, we really need your help here. The moves we did with Bobby and Custer, then we had some classes that were really small, so we collapsed one, and then we moved that teacher over to, I believe, his Manor.
We had two different scenarios that Andy's referring to, where we took classes or classrooms that were small in numbers and moved those teachers to an open position. So one was a situation that we had at Custer. They had low first grade numbers, so we combined those classrooms. They had five, we combined them down to four. And then that teacher moved to Arborwood, was a first grade teacher. She moved to a kindergarten position at Arborwood that had been vacated by that teacher right before the start of the school year. And then another situation was at Waterloo. Their third grade classrooms were low in size, so we combined their two third grade classrooms into one first grade, or sorry, one third grade classroom, and then that teacher went to Manor for an open fourth grade position.
How big did that leave those classrooms?
So the classrooms at Custer, the first grade classrooms, they were at numbers of 14, 15, 17, I believe.
Once they doubled up, or
still,
then
still
they doubled
20.
Up on top of
then we, after we doubled up, they were 19 and 20.
So even with the double up, they're still under. So that would mean
well,
they were
not,
like seven kids in each
no,
class.
No, they didn't double
they
up.
Didn't double
they didn't double up.
Up.
I'm just trying to
she
follow.
She took
four.
So
they took that.
That
there were
fifth class,
five.
And then dispersed it
amongst the
whole. Oh, I thought you said there were two classes in the third grade.
That was Waterloo.
Waterloo.
So there was like, sorry, I don't want to step on your toes. I just remember the month. There was like 10 in each, like there was 10 or less in each class. So together, they weren't more than 20.
Okay.
That's the
That's
third
weird.
Grade class?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And, well.
We had, sorry. And those two openings we had intentionally filled with a long-term sub at the start of the school year to see
yeah.
how numbers shifted before we made any moves or changes. So they weren't unserved students in those classrooms. They were just being served by substitute teachers.
Yeah.
And we had some unanticipated low spots and one unanticipated high spot in enrollment. And we kind of knew that we might have to watch out for that because of school of choice and the changes in the boundary lines. Like we needed to figure out where all of these kids were going to be 100% for sure. So we call it butts in seats, for lack of a better way to put it. So once we had kids in the building, we saw who was where, we were then able to take care of some low spots by combining classrooms, and then we assigned those teachers to go to the classrooms.
So on these teachers that just are leaving, it goes back to the conversation we had earlier. Are we finding out, like, what is the reason? Because that puts, like, I thought it
so,
was odd for a teacher
yeah.
to leave at after school started. Did
yeah,
I misunderstand that?
October 17th.
Yeah.
I know.
It's,
that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. I thought once
it
you
is.
Started, you pretty much stayed
it
for
is.
The year.
So unlike in Ohio, Michigan doesn't have any rules of staying. We wish they did. For one teacher I know for certainty, it was not the right fit, and so he's going to go teach, has a position at a parochial school.
Were they a new teacher?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very recently.
Were they both new teachers?
I believe they were both
yeah.
new. I remember hiring this one. Then.
Yep. So.
Very short term.
Yep. So it's.
To hire people is very expensive.
It's labor intensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the
I
labor.
Mean, it's not like we're paying a recruiter.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. The recruiter
yeah.
is a little different. But
so,
just bringing in the whole hiring process with the training and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So as we go down through here, though, you'll see we'll get into these are the assistants. Now, with assistants, you're going to just see exits and people from resignations. And the reason being is each building, gets an allocation of assistance, and it's based off the number of hours, amount of special education, and so that's what each building has to live within.
So these are assistants within the classroom?
These are either within inside the classroom, these could be on the playground, these could be in the cafeteria, these could be one-on-one.
These are a lot of recent
Yes.
resignations.
So assistants will turn over quite fast, also because they might be paired up with a student they don't want to be paired up with, or they don't, Terry, what are some other reasons? I mean, I know you are closer to it than I am.
A lot of it too is just family situations, finding a different job.
But look at the dates of them. I mean, they're newer employees, so it goes back to the whole retention thing.
Yep.
You know, what is causing people to leave? I thought, you know, that's a lot.
Well, I know Mackenzie Ferguson, not to like just throw someone under the bus, she went from being an assistant to a bus driver, but she has since moved on from us as a bus driver. She's no longer driving for us anymore. But that's a situation where she decided she no longer wanted to do the assistant work in between her bus routes. She just wanted to be a bus driver.
So we don't think there's a commonality why 13 assistants have left in the past 2 months?
I think that's...
I don't know how many there are, so I don't know if that's a significant amount, but it sounds like it.
Assistants?
Oh, probably 100.
Yeah. So that's 10%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you find, too, that this an assistant is a very difficult position.
Pay rate is...
Pay rate is...
Part of the issue with the assistants is the pay rate is close to your minimum wage. I think they start at $15 or $16 an hour at step one.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
a low pay rate position, but there's some assignments that are high.
No, that's what I was explaining, is that for how we are still short some assistants, mainly one-on-ones, but what you have is it's too hard, and talking with Jill, to try and put them in, because it shows it's not a correlation of one FTE, because a person might come on you. So, for example, you might only be able to work 2 hours a day. Okay, so you work at Custer. You work at Custer at 3 hours a day.
Oh, so these aren't full-time employees?
Not necessarily.
Oh, I didn't know that. I went with the assumption.
An assistant is all over. Assistants, their day is varied based on, am I working lunch? Am I working recess? Am I start of the day? Am I at the end of the day? Some assistants are a full day, okay, but there are others that are.
I didn't know that.
Assistants are very tough. That's why we give them the buildings the latitude. They get an allocation. They know the number of hours that a person can work, is allowed to work up to, and you're doing all that stuff. So assistants are a tough one. When we begin to look right here, this is the example I was talking about where we had Amy. Front desk, where it says not filling at this time, that will be changed, because that just...
Right. Everybody's going to strangle you if you don't change it.
Yeah.
I bet.
It just needs to be.
When
we look at the bus drivers isn't listed here, and that's more because it's Mets. Bus drivers, it's unique this year because we have had a few bus drivers leave us. But I know Patty, what we're finding more so now, though, is we'll get a bus driver hired, and then we'll go get them drug tested, and they'll fail the drug test. We'll get them hired, get them halfway through, and something else will fail. And so it's really right now about a 1-8 ratio, I think, of getting a person from hired through the system through to driving a bus. What's that?
Is staff drug tested?
No.
Even when you hire them?
Hey.
When we hire...
teachers, we don't do it.
We don't do it. No.
Wow.
Bus drivers because of the CDL.
Yeah.
No other position, unless we believe an employee has an appearance of doing something, then we'll send them for a drug test. We can do that, and do.
Yeah.
Have.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's sad.
So I wanna take a second right here and have Dave Payne, because Dave has been.
Check out at 9 o'clock.
Dave has been extremely quiet tonight.
I'm actually working on my comprehensive spending plan for unneeded items, which I will be presenting at the next workshop.
Well, I'm sure.
So, Dave, you wanna get into what we have going on right here in the, class one, skilled trades, maintenance, and what this all means?
What questions do you have about, is it the open positions, the turnover?
So.
It depends on which area we're talking to explain.
Well, let's say maintenance. I know we had two that are, that just left.
We had, yes, one left in August and one left after the start of the school year.
Yeah. That's, they're just taking different positions or, I mean?
I think those positions, one of them was they didn't realize what, when they got hired, they started out in grounds. And, they bid on, they were edge staff, so it was a contracted position. So they bid on a full-time with benefits, a maintenance position. And it's just too fast paced for them, I think, to control a building and, you know, it's different. When you're on grounds, you do something, you're, when you're in a building, you're pretty much, there's something going on all the time. He also, that person was in photography, so there was other things going on there. The other position, David Kirk, I think he just didn't wanna have to do building stuff. And he abruptly quit over it. He was retired already, so.
Oh, okay, so.
It was one of those things where he was doing this as a secondary thing. And he talked about leaving for 2 years. So I mean, that, so those positions were unique to that.
So what I did is I, to be fair, went back and I looked at the historic, documented evidence of how many maintenance staff we had. Cause I kept saying, maintenance is growing. No, it's not, Darla. Maintenance is growing. So I went through all of the staffing stuff that we have received. In 2023, there was one supervisor and 15 maintenance, so it would have been 16 staff. In 24-25 school year, it was 15, one and 14, because I think when the data come out, you were in the midst. So the last chart that, and this is all the charts Cindy gave us. So that's where I got my information from. You know, those big old things that you had to get a magnifying glass and read. So in this one, there were 10 general maintenance, 6 general contracted maintenance, and 7 skilled trade, which is 23. And so that is a significant increase in the maintenance staff. And I'm like, how did we get there? Because those positions weren't there.
That's when we converted our, having a local maintenance person in each building instead of a head custodian. So it's more of a internal shift.
No, it's an increase in staff from 15 to 23.
No.
So 15 staff on the books to 23 staff is not an increase in staff.
No, it's not. Let me explain. So last year we had edu staff, or excuse me, HES was our contracted, to handle our.
That was custodian though.
Yes.
I'm talking just maintenance.
I know. But one of their people was assigned a building during the day. We weren't getting the bang for our buck that we needed for that. So what we asked to do was to move that head custodian that was contracted out to be an in-house Monroe Public Schools person. That's why that shift in those numbers. And you also look, so for instance, HES anywhere from 45 to 55 contracted custodians at any given time. We have currently 30 custodians. We're hoping to get closer to 40, but we want to hire the right people.
That's because you had a whole bunch of resignations, right? Isn't that what you're saying?
It's, that's a whole, we can talk about that next. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But that's why that number, Darla, is different. It's not that we hired more. They just went from this group to this group.
So I looked at those numbers as well. So in 23-24, where maintenance was 16, HES with MPS employees, because at that point there were those 5, with 49, HES was 54. So they maintain a staff for 54, but for the money we were paying, we had 54 staff. So then in the next one, where there were 15 maintenance, there were 57. Because we had the 5 Monroe, the 5 employees still on record, plus they had 52. So the next year, we have 23 maintenance, And according to what that said, there's 47 and a half HES plus four of the Monroe, which would have put it at, no, the two of them would have made it 47.5. So I do see a little bit of a decrease from HES to us.
And we're trying to hire more people. So we're way below.
But you took over that after this report came out. This report came out before you made those changes, because I think it was dated, February 7th of 25 was the date of the final one. So you didn't make those changes until after. So I'm reporting apples to apples to apples. So where we're at now is kind of where I'm looking at where we're at.
I can tell you, and I can look at the numbers, but I can tell you 100% we have not even been at full staffing since I took this over 2.5, 3 years ago.
What we did, we tried
to bring. So what's considered full staff at 23
hours? So for instance, we were looking for two boiler operators. We might have had one. Then we hired one and then one quit. We never been at actually full staff. On maintenance, like David Kirk and Brennan left, we still haven't replaced those positions yet. We only replaced
But these
one.
Are current, so I don't know where you're sitting at current. All I can give you is up until February of 25 where we were at.
So
I know you made a lot of changes since then, but the perception that...
But even HES was never a full staff, and that's one of the reasons we got rid of them, is because they would say they're at 54, but it might have been a crossover between someone that was on call that worked one time, but they weren't off the books, because one of our biggest complaints is we never were at full staff. We were always Plan B cleaning. We never really got what we paid for because they could not get a full staff. So that 54, 55 sometimes was really 48, 46.
But that's where you're sitting now, right?
If with custodial, we're sitting at like 31.
Yeah.
And believe me, we're working our butts off, because here's the thing. We want to hire people to do the job right. Our goal is to go to about 40, 42 custodians, train, deep clean, refine the system, and then start shrinking back to the mid-30s, because we feel that's a sweet spot. As long as we can hire, and that's one of the things we're trying to do, is the weekend project event group, because what's killing us is sporting events every evening, we have to pull from our daily duties to cover these events. Where if we can get a small subset that work like a 4-10 shift that can do one weekend thing, so we're not paying overtime, we feel we can knock out projects and cover events without sacrificing the weekly cleaning, but still keep the staff at a lower level.
So what is, because dollars matter, so if in February maintenance was sitting at 23, we see three have left, where are you sitting in maintenance if you say that you're not even?
So right now we are down, what for sure.
What is your number of total?
We're technically down one maintenance, general maintenance staff, David Kirk or Brennan, one of those two has not been replaced. Doug's going to the board, I think, at the next board meeting, or was at this board meeting, it was approved.
I think there was one.
We're down one we're down one boiler operator.
Is that contracted maintenance or is that skilled trade?
General maintenance.
That's a
right now we only have four. Well, we just hired one, so three contracted maintenance right now.
So of six you only have three. Of general maintenance you have 9 out of 10.
What's that?
At general maintenance you said you have 9 out of 10. You said you were down one. And then skilled trade, are you down three because of those three going?
Technically, we have one boiler operator, but we have two open positions. But we're evaluating that before we jump. We're going to see what's out there. Part of the problem with skilled trades is our contracted rate is so below the union halls. It's hard. You got to get somebody that's retiring. I want to have a job. It's a little slower pace. You got to find that right fit. A lot of times you'll get kids like Ethan, really good kid. Graduated from SMCC, but he took a job for a couple bucks more an hour. They get a little experience, that's just what's gonna happen. So it's hard to, like, we got Mark, a plumber. We had a plumber position open for almost 10 years. And we finally got the right fit, great guy. You know, he's okay with that wage and really smart. So you get a good person and it's great, but sometimes you have to wait to fill that.
So only because, the industry that those I associated with worked in, for example, the millwrights, which are your skilled trades, worked when the job broke down. and that's when you needed them. So how is that in this world here? Does it operate the same way, or is there?
They always have a work order. And something to.
All I was thinking of is if they, it's only the, when the job breaks down, would it be?
Our electricians are always going, our HVAC guy.
We got a line of work 2 miles long. Most of the time, a lot of the times, we have to pick and choose and say, okay, we have to contract with Merle Coleman or Thompson's because we can't just take one plumber to work on one job for 2 weeks straight and then all these little jobs pop up. We have no one there. So we have to balance that.
So your answer is. There is no ability to save costs in these departments because
we're saving costs right now.
Oh no, they are
thousands.
Wait.
Every day we don't have people on the books, we're saving money.
Well, that's not my point.
That's the point.
Well, but the you just said they need to be filled.
But we're not just going to film with people that aren't qualified.
I understand.
So, but to answer your question, the way that we want to design the system is to build the staff up. And it's going to take a period of time so they get trained, and so it's going to take some more staff to get trained because of the turnover rate so fast, but then to try and be balanced out to where the work is being done at roughly about a 35 number crew. The big change that's happened in Monroe Public was putting a maintenance person / custodian in each building. We did that intentionally, and that was taking like a custodial position and putting them over there because these people were driving two buildings all day. So we have a cost when people are in a vehicle driving, right? So we've decreased the number of vehicles leaving and moving about in our district simply as a cost savings. One is on gas and wear and tear, but number two, if they're driving, they're not working. So that's why we made that shift also there. One quick question on your February 25th, 2025. 23 maintenance, is that all just general maintenance or is that?
10 were general maintenance. 6 were contracted maintenance. There was a category that said general, like I think
some
it was in parentheses.
Yeah.
And then 7 were skilled trades. I'm just reading the report.
Yep.
So that's why I'm asking.
I appreciate
about
that
it.
Clarity.
Because
there.
It did feel to me that it was raising, and so when I went and did this, I'm like, well, it did.
And another where we saved is the secretary moved on, and we absorbed that temporarily for the last couple months because what we found is that clerical position was doing 80% things that weren't clerical, and only 20% of clerical. So we tried to absorb that between different people. That's another example of us analyzing the system, absorbing that, saving some money while we do it, and then making a recommendation later how we want to fill or utilize
it. And it's actually helping us between having David from tech, operations, grounds, having that all together because now that more people are.
So you do cross training.
Well,
you cross training.
We're not cross training. We're just using the three departments to work as one department. Is what's happening. So it's reducing, some staff in that manner.
So job descriptions can be fluid.
Oh, they are.
Okay.
At the bottom of every single contract. So the contracted, when we look at the contracted, we look at that from the side of, these are part-time guys or gals that come in. We've had some that are college kids, so they'll come in and work in the summer. They'll work only during that two-week period at Christmas.
What are we talking about now, maintenance or custodian?
The contracted maintenance.
I don't know if they're full-time or not.
One thing I would say is we're talking, these positions are all between $16 and $20 an hour. Whether you're maintenance, even with benefits, that's really not, it's substantial with the retirement and the benefits, but you can easily go to another company and let's say make $22, $24 an hour, and that's what people do. So we do have that bouncing around. If I had a choice between cleaning an elementary building or cleaning at a college, I wouldn't even, that's a second guess. The mess and it's just.
And you're making more money.
Making more money, it's quiet, you're not
but
making
up. The information that I'm getting on the staffing reports, it doesn't give me any of that.
No, that's why we're happy to answer all your questions because it's the problem is it changes so much. It's like changing the oil in your car while you're driving. It's really hard to give you because just like today, somebody probably either quit or is going to be fired or we just hired somebody.
That's a good day.
But sadly right now, it's a very accurate day.
Yeah.
When you look through there. When we look at the teachers, I know that.
Well, what about the custodians? Why so many custodians have left here
Yeah.
I think a lot.
Because, well, here's the conversation, we're gonna get those employees, we kinda got it all set up, we know who we're gonna get, we know where it's gonna go, we bring them all in and they're all leaving.
That's, unfortunately, that's been the way it is for years here, just because, again, it's a lower paid thing, if they can find something else, a lot of it's transportation, a lot of it, they find another job, they didn't realize.
So ATS had the same problem as what you're saying.
Probably 50% worse than we have. It's way, but the thing is, it seems like we're losing a lot, but once we get 10 solid people, we're holding on to that core group, then we make it 12, now we're up to 30, and that, we get to 34, it drops down, so we're getting there, it's just, like, I'll give you a personal example, we just hired two people in the interview, great, one is a rock star, the other one's like, what do you mean I gotta clean? We talked about, like, totally shocked that he had to clean, and he doesn't like working with people. And I'm like, we have this conversation.
Yeah.
So you just
yeah.
never know. Somebody sees $20 an hour, $18 an hour, they go for it.
So what we then have to look at is, are the needs of the buildings and the students being met?
That's what we're doing.
They, as far
so
as the cleaning,
answer to that is yes.
The cleaning is yes.
Okay.
They're working their tails off. Okay. They're getting
but that's
overtime.
Important.
We have not had to plan B yet. But
yes.
There's a time where if we get flu, 30 people is about the core. You can't go much below that.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to get up a little higher, so we have some extra things.
See, healthcare just hired agency staff.
Yeah. The plan.
Perfect example, though, Andy.
When I
went to a conference at MSBO, Detroit Public Schools has not even been at 70% capacity with their custodians. They clean hallways 2 days a week. They might do certain areas and zones. They don't even want to switch to another third party because they keep doing it and they're getting the same results for staffing. It's just hard to staff at that level.
And that's part of the plan B, which we haven't had to go to because we haven't had the call offs or things to do it. But that's also why we wanted to go to the daytime maintenance / custodian. So if something couldn't get done that night, it's communicated to that person when they come in the next morning to address
it. Just real quick to answer, plan B, what we call it, is basically, if you have two night custodians at Raisinville and one calls off and we didn't give someone there, they might have to say, we're just doing bathrooms, door handles, and trash. We're not going to do floors. We're going to plan B to the bare essentials because of staff limitations. Right now we've been shifting, but there, you never know, there might come a time where we have to if there's call-offs. We're averaging between 2 and 5 call-offs a night out of 30 people. So I would say the team's been doing really good to maintain that, but it is a struggle. Every day.
I pulled out the staffing from June 24th, 25, and that's what I've been showing, not the current one that is in there. And just because it looks very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That one, this one was from June.
Gotcha.
And these are all staffing. And so when I see the one now, it looks very similar. So that's June, July, August, September, October, which is where my questions come from.
In our goal,
does that make sense?
I'll leave it. That's our goal. We've been so short in maintenance and custodial for so long. If we don't get back to that level with quality people, it's going to hurt the district. We've been able to maintain, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
That's what I'm asking.
You can't effectively do the grounds with two full-time employees and a random third or fourth person that may work for a month to get the quality that I expect. So we have to get people trained and hopefully hang on to them, but it's a struggle at that wage.
Right. So, you know, what we're identifying tonight is we have a cash flow where we need to address that from a different perspective. We're running into a situation where maybe the needs of the buildings we got to start focusing on that they're being met. And again, I just want to make sure we're being proactive in identifying this stuff so it's not down the road like, whoops.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
When it comes to the cleaning,
I don't know what the answer is. I just know we have
so
to something.
The plan is a place where when it comes to the cleaning, it's all about we have the system designed where we want to get to this team concept so that, you know, for example, the three of us are the bathroom team. And so this mentality, so that way we can really make the buildings look a lot better. We just got to get to the capacity, which is getting people in and keeping them. And like you said, we're at a spot where it's been growing. We got every building clean this summer. We got everything done. But if we're not careful, it could come at a cost if we don't keep getting some people hired. And all it takes, you see, you know, in 2 days we could lose three people and then they're shorthanded.
Well, and like today, for example, any day in the last 2 weeks, you might have five call-offs and then, oh, by the way, you have to deep clean eight rooms because foot and mouth and scabies and flu. So then you gotta go through and do an extra layer of cleaning, which really adds to it.
Yep.
So it's a struggle, but we're getting there.
I'm gonna ask the question because this is our job to ask. What does the board need to do in order to mitigate any negative outcomes in the near future for any of these problems?
So
I would support our recommendations. Referring to, I mean,
yeah. What'd you say?
Support our recommendations.
Well, we do.
That we appreciate that's why we're continuing to do better.
But we've done that. Like,
yeah. But there's really not a. There's not.
Obviously, it's not.
But there's not a problem.
No.
What we're battling right now, when it comes to the hiring, so if we're paying $15 to $20 an hour, and so we're going to get what we're going to get, but then someone next door pays a little more, or they don't want to work those hours. That's our struggle. So we're just battling it, not enough people in the area to work. Because
they want to work.
That want to work. So that's a battle, but
yeah,
that's part of why we asked about the recruiter side of it to go after and try and get people in the door that don't know about us.
Is this is our wage similar?
What's that? Only the bus drivers.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it for like custodials or maintenance? Are we pay competitive with other school districts like a Jefferson or an airport?
It's close. They're different because, like, for instance, the pay of effort might be higher, but our longevity and some of the compensation, so it's pretty close.
Okay.
Our skilled trades, depending on the school you go to, may be a little low, but the problem is you have skilled trades, general maintenance, and custodial on the same group.
Yeah.
So you can't jump one up to
sure.
without
but what?
Problems.
Oh, that seems
do you have a question?
I have a question.
So...
So you described one situation where there was like a disconnect between what the employee thought the job was going to be and what the job actually is. Is that a fairly common experience in the people that you see turn over quickly in these roles, where they're not?
That is true for most industries right now who are hiring. Is they just see the dollar amount and they're like, oh, I could do that. And they,
okay,
they come, they interview, they get hired, and then they figure out what the job is, and they're like, oh,
so
I don't
know. Be a security guard. Some positions you can sit in a chair the whole night. They don't expect anything. Another company might say, I want you to walk every, and they're like, well, I ain't walking. I'm only used to sitting, and that's what happens when you hire.
Okay.
Sometimes they just don't understand that. Pushing a dust mop out of college is different than wiping feces off a wall.
Right.
I
so.
I want to share one last point that I think. Go ahead, Mary. I'll finish.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious if, like, info sessions. I understand that, like, some of our applicants and people that take these roles are fairly young, right? And they might not know because they don't have industry experience. They haven't been out in the world before. So, like, maybe having just a general info session about, like, this is what the job is, so that we're not going through.
I would guess that's part of the hiring process.
It's part of the hiring,
isn't it?
So we actually call them and say, no, you know, you'll be cleaning, you'll be using a mop, you'll be wiping. Oh, no problem. It's just
what you're doing. So,
yeah. So one last thing I do want to draw your attention to that is of a positive. One of the things we designed in this system from through our using EduStaff for cleaning and then and or for the contracted maintenance is there's a ability to move up. Okay, and we have had people that have come in as a cleaner that have moved up either into the cleaning level and or into general into maintenance for us and or gone into the maintenance slash custodial role and are doing a phenomenal job. And so
and
we have
one that wants to get into skilled trades.
And we have one that's identified for skilled trades. So we do have the positives by what we're trying to do is create a system where these guys or gals can see I can move if I want to move. We're not, the buildings are being cleaned, everything's being done. We just want to get to the spot where the stress level for people is decreasing.
Plus, if you have some major thing happen, you can cover it.
Yeah. So
So is there an intent to change any of, I know I wanted to finish up with this, and I'm sorry I've interrupted. Did you want to go?
No, I was just saying that our, we will work, it won't be for this Friday, I can guarantee that, or for your board briefs this week. We will work to get that column in there so you can understand if that, especially those lines that says not replacing this time, what the dollar amount is, okay? And then I'll even talk about with our, my cabinet as far as.
With benefits, because that.
It'll be the whole, it'll be the full comp.
Full comp.
And then the other part would be is if we identify other positions inside of here that won't be, that we're not gonna look to replace.
Because obviously there's still a lot of movement that needs to happen in the budget so that we don't find ourselves in a situation.
So I wanna draw your attention, that's why I said that this year with what we did last year and where we're at. So you take a look right here, we have a Monroe Middle School French teacher, okay? That person resigned and right now we have a sub. Well, here's what's amazing. The sub that we have in there, and Terry or David, please hop in so I don't get this one wrong. Middle School of French.
We're working on Middle School French.
No, isn't that the one that's a sub that's?
We do have a commit sub who's fluent in French.
Thank you.
Fortunately.
Yep.
Fluent in French.
Fluent in French. So even though you'll see a sub in there, they're doing the job, and so we're getting that person at a daily rate that's quite a bit less than a first-year teacher with Benny's. So we do have those spots. So, So that's what we have for you there. So we'll pull one of these again another time together for you, staffing later on. Anything else?
I think we're done for the night.
I want to go a few more hours.
Okay. I guess I technically need another motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Can I get a motion to adjourn again? Support?